All right, what is up, everyone? Welcome to a Fantasy Fishing Live here on this awesome Monday evening. You'll notice that we're a little short-staffed this evening to start off. Bailey will be joining us hopefully here shortly. Same with Justin. But we are Sarah-less tonight and Boomer-less. They are traveling. We're fighting through some technical difficulties, so we're trying to figure that as we go. But I figured let's get the show started, you know. Harris Chain's coming up, Florida tournament in April, which is odd for Bassmaster, which I don't think any of us really know, have an idea what's going on, if we're going to be questioning are they're still spawning fish or not. So that's going to be one thing that we're going to dive into here shortly. We do have an Elite Series angler who's starting off his Elite Series career hot joining us to kind of give us a breakdown on the Harris Chain of Lakes, which is going to be exciting once he joins in here. But Brennan, how's it going, man?
It's going great. My Iowa Hawkeyes got second in the nation yesterday, which sucks. But
oh man, good game. From that, I watched it.
Dude, who didn't? It was really cool. Super pumped just to see him get to that point. And honestly, the progression of women's sports in general was pretty rad to be a small part of. So. That was cool, but fishing-wise,
you know what's impressive about the whole thing, real fast before we get into fishing, yeah, is the fact that the Hawkeyes, not just the Hawkeyes, like I think both of the final four games, right, like had better attendance than the men's side, mm-hmm, which I think is something which is crazy to talk about. But Caitlin Clark single-handedly has basically put college basketball for females on like the national map, and it was exciting to see for women's sports.
I completely agree. I just wasn't going to say it as an Iowa fan because I feel like the nation's already like annoyed enough hearing the name Caitlin Clark, but like I agree.
Yeah, it's
but yeah, fishing wise, pretty jacked about this Harris Chain though. I am a little I don't know. This is going to be a weird one. Like, I feel like this is going to be a little wrench in the system because it's Florida, but maybe not the Florida that we're used to.
Right.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this one pans out.
Yeah. I mean, what do you expect to see, right? Like, what do you think is going to happen? Is everybody going to be grouped up in one area of one lake? Because there's multiple lakes that are open. They're closing one of them after this event to work on, I think, like a lock I heard, which is what, Griffin, maybe? Is it Griffin? Do I have that right?
I don't know that part of the dynamic, yeah.
There's so many of those little lakes. And who are commenting on our side here can kind of chime in here if they know. But, like, I'm just curious, what lake is it going to be one out of? Is somebody going to run all over the place? Like, Florida events are always extremely interesting. And I'm really curious if there's going to be fish on bed still. It's a new moon cycle, so maybe not.
Yeah, or maybe pushes the final ones, right, to doing what they got to do, I guess. I'm not sure, but yeah, I got to believe that, like, there's not going to be as much of that at a shallow bed fisherman's disposal as there was a few weeks ago or a month ago, absolutely for sure, or beyond that, right? So I don't look for that to be heating up by any means, but I think it'll probably still be available. So somebody that's boots on the ground, like Kyle Patrick, obviously might be able to confirm that for us. Interested to see what he says. That might change everything that I thought about my picks. So I'll be honest, like, that's where I'm at.
Might be changing picks here on the fly. I mean, yeah, curious to see. We'll have to go check on like Drew Cook or Drew Benton's social media, right? Because if they got big ones and you can see like shallow water or a bank near them, they're probably catching a fish or two off bed somewhere. But it's also Florida and those fish live shallow to mid-range and deep all year round. So
right, it's right, absolutely.
I really don't know what to think of this tournament at this point, except for it's probably going to be exciting. And is it going to be spawn? Is it going to be another forward-facing event? Or is it going to be guys just chucking and whiting in grass? And kind of, do we see the old school guys with quotations, right, arising to the occasion and catching a bunch of fish?
I'd like to believe so. And honestly, look, the way I have my picks configured, I'm kind of planning for a little bit of both. And if I'm being honest, I kind of try to always do that based on the event. Now, if it's like a full-blown pre-spawn event, I don't know. Like, I don't need any shallow flippers. Like, I'm all live scope at this point, honestly. Right. Maybe you shouldn't listen to my advice either, because my fantasy team's doing very poorly right now.
I think me and you are both rounding out, like, the bottom of the barrel, right?
So okay, cool. Yeah. So just like mute this part, everybody listening. I'm just kidding. Hopefully there's a little bit of at least thought-provoking stuff, you know, in this dialogue here. But I don't know. I gotta believe like we're gonna see a jerk bait in this. I wouldn't have said that even for you know 3 years ago, maybe. But like, why won't there be forward-facing sonar guys throwing jerk baits, you know, staying giants offshore looking at them? Why won't that happen? Yeah.
Another technique that you might see come out that we don't see much in Florida, because the events are usually earlier, might be like a Carolina rig, like, or a big worm, mm-hmm. right on the offshore shell beds. That
for sure, shell bars, absolutely
starting yep. to take off. So
yep, as no those question fish
migrate back out. So loading but yep. like I said, we're having technical difficulties that we're working through here, but this is a great time to get on Omnia Premium Pro. They have that grass layer built into the software that you can see where all the grass is. And if I could have brought it up here, Bailey had it all preloaded when we were talking about it, and his computer basically shut down, but it broke down each one of the lakes on the Harris chain and showed where the grass is. And it's based off, like, I think recent satellite imagery and the way they graph the lakes and people upload it from CMAP. So it's something you may want to look into if you're down the Florida chain or fishing grass anywhere around the country. Your lake might be on the Premium Pro app, and it might just help you catch a few more bass. So get back here. And, but yeah, so kind of backtrack a little bit, right? Like Bassmaster Classic. Did anything happen that you didn't expect to happen, or did you think that what happened was actually what was going to happen? Justin Hamner just going down with the jerkbait.
Well, I think, well, maybe we'll talk about it, but I think I had Hamner on my Drain the Lake at least. I can't remember if I had him. We're going to find out if I had him on Fantasy or Drain the Lake. So I did kind of have a feeling about Justin Hamner, but more specifically within that Justin Hamner pick was like the thought that forward-facing sonar was going to play a critical role in this, and ultimately it did, which, no surprise, a lot of pre-spawn fish, like, naturally that's going to occur, right? But yeah. I will say the shallow water stuff did surprise me a little bit. I was in Tulsa. I was at the Classic, and I got to tell you, from what I recall, two of the days were, like, pretty crappy weather, man. Like, they need wind out there at Grand. I realize that, but I will say this. It wasn't the conditions that I wouldn't have anticipated for like that type of bite to fire up shallow.
Yeah.
So that was something interesting about Grand that I didn't know before.
Yeah. Usually like you'd think if it was sunny with a slight wind, that jerkbait bite would be going off. But I didn't give it credit to Megabass and coming out with that mad shad color before virtually anyone else did, right? Everyone kind of copied them with that color pattern, and that's color pattern I throw a lot when it's cloudy and dreary and not as much wind, etc. And it catches fish in any color condition, any watercolor condition really, and mm-hmm. any light condition. So I guess it's no surprise that
awesome.
Yeah, that a Vision 110 won mm-hmm. another Classic, the tried and true jerkbait. So that part is really kick ass, for like to say, but for Justin Hamner to win, I think that was pretty exciting as well. Talk about a jump start to that career, and he's no kidding, crushing yeah. it. And it's proof of how well momentum can carry you in the sport of bass fishing.
I don't know Justin Hamner, but like, I'll be honest, like a lot of what I do know about Justin Hamner is through this show and your guys's conversations, right, on this show, this platform. I don't know. He's got like just a cool mental side. Like he's just rolling with the punches. And I don't know. I think the calmness and just the overall calmness and his mental attitude, like that's the perfect approach to fishing, really. I think.
Yeah. Just relax. And he knew that he was going to go get him. And I'm waiting for Justin here to give me the thumbs up if he's ready to come on. I shot him a text message, but he was ignoring me. So, all right, perfect. We'll get Justin's thoughts here. Hey, Justin, how's it going? Can't hear you. Have to unplug. Oh, there you are. Welcome. Hey, congrats on the finish at the KBF National. Was that the national championship for the KBF?
It was down on Gunnersville.
Awesome. Congrats, man.
I was the way my tournament season's gone so far, I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I would be as well. So it's a good turn of events, and hopefully you, like we're just talking about momentum, hopefully you can carry the momentum through the next few events. But what were your thoughts on Grand?
You know, I didn't get to see as much of it as I wanted to. I was down there competing for the Bassmaster Kayak Series Championship on 10 Killer. And I wish 10 Killer set up a little more like Grand. So I listened to a lot of it while I was driving to and from.
How far was 10 Killer from Tulsa?
I want to say it was an hour and a half or so. Hour and a half south. So it was, you know, not exactly close, but not terrible. We only, you know, we fished before the Classic. So our last day of competition was the day before the Classic started. And then their first day weigh in was when they had the kayak award ceremony. And as you know, as you know, Drew won that. And it's always a cool award ceremony. Like, I got a chance to do that in 2022 to walk across the stage. And, you know, even though it was, you know, the arena wasn't completely full yet, but just walking on that stage, knowing that this is something that I've watched on, you know, on live for years, I've watched those weigh-ins. It was cool to be on stage like that. So yeah, the Classic itself, I don't know. I like I said, I didn't watch as much of it as I was hoping, but I did enjoy listening in. It was cool to see Hamner, especially how emotional he got afterwards, the stories that he told. I think a lot of us can relate to that, you know, like sleeping in your car, you know, cutting grass, doing whatever you got to do to try to fish. And I don't think it could have happened to a better guy.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, and talking about like good guys in the fishing industry and on the Elite Series, our guest is down in the queue. So we're going to get him on here in a second. But real fast, I think we should run through our fantasy fishing points from Grand Lake before we get back into the Harris Chain talks. And our guest did fish in the Classic, so I want to hear his little side of it as well, as it was his first Classic that he was in. So, Brennan, do you want to start us off with your points and kind of run through your team real quick?
Yeah, we're starting fantasy, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, cool. So, yeah, getting back to my team, I had Jason Christie, Milliken, Jay Shakirit, Cody Huff, and Tyler Williams for 1,212 points.
1,212, not bad.
Yep. So we didn't have Hamner on this one. We had him on Drain the Lake. Wish I had him on this team, but overall, I had a third, fourth, and a 17th, which ended up carrying me to 12-12. So
that's not bad. Mm-hmm. Largent, how about you?
My team, I had Patrick Walters in Group A. I had Stetson Blaylock. I had Koya Fujita, Taco Ito, and Kyle Patrick, ironically. Oh, nice. So I was total of 12-03, a little bit behind there, but 12-03. Yeah, it was so long. I guess I made those picks and then I missed the show. It's like I don't even remember who I picked for that.
It's been a couple weeks.
It feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, now we have, what, back-to-back events here in Florida, like 2 weeks in a row. So it's kind of funny this year. It seems like all the events, like, stack on top of each other, and then we get a long break and then stack. So it's tough to stay in it. So I don't have Bailey's. I guess I could pull them up, and we'll go through that here in a second. But I had 1281, and then I had Polinick, Kamara, Fujita, Hamner, and Fothergill. And I probably should have taken Kyle because he was in Group E, wasn't he? So, like, I went back and forth on it and decided not to. But 1281 for me. Let's see how everyone else rounded out here real fast. So it looked like Deacon had 1235 and Bailey took the win with 1317. And then Boomer had 1217. So, and right now for the fantasy fishing round out points, it looks like Deacon is in first, Bailey's in second. Justin, you're sitting nice at third, about 200 points out. I'm sitting in fourth, Boomer's in fifth. And then Brennan, you've got a pretty big gap there, bud, to catch up on. You're down by about
500. All sorts of time, man.
And then real fast, if you want, we can just run through your drain the lake points in. Who you had there. You don't really have to run through it all that fast. Justin, do you have yours pulled up or Brennan?
Yeah, my drain the lake total points was 2,578.
It's pretty good. I think so. Where you're lacking in fantasy, right? Like you're doing pretty well.
I made up for drain the lake. For sure.
And how'd you do, Justin?
Drain the lake. I'm trying to pull it up. I know I looked at it. I'm pretty sure I'm bringing up the rear in that. Like I'm at under 60%, so I'm not doing great in drain the lake overall. I don't know what it is. I believe it or not, I spent more time with drain the lake. I sat down and mapped out the entire season. I spent probably 2 hours sitting there going through every event, like picking my favorites for each event. And yeah, I've done by far worse in that than the one just sort of glancing and oh yep, that guy, the standard fantasy.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. You think too much.
Yeah. Yep.
Overthinking. You just gotta pick. Like I usually pick my drain the lake literally while we're on it, about to go through, or like 10 seconds before we get on. So I had 25-10 for my drain the lake. And the overall rounded out standings right now is I'm sitting in first. Bailey is in second. Brennan's in third with 51.95. Deacon in fourth. Boomer in fifth. And Justin, you're rounding out the caboose here with you're down by 1,000, bud. So what is your plan here to flip it around and rise to the top?
I'm hoping that I have a lot of the scopers I picked for those smallmouth events. So I'm hoping that it sort of like catches up to me at the end, like that those last couple tournaments, you know, it's just the guy I don't know. Like we can't actually make the picks, but I've got them jotted down. Like I've got Shakurik, Felix, Kimura, Fujita, the Johnsons, Gussie and Cooper Gallant for the last, that's my St. Lawrence team. So I'm Love hoping it. That I at least have one good tournament.
I got all those guys too.
Yeah. and that's where you're going to run into issues because we're all probably going to pick the same people for those events, right? So
yeah, it's like that's what I don't know. It's like if I was hoping that other people would just sort of pick week to week and not be thinking
right.
like sort of long term.
I feel like Drain the Lake is strategic, but. You have to
and sometimes it burns you because you think too forward and you don't think enough in the moment. You don't like use good anglers like when you know their skill set they could deploy right there at that time. But yeah, it's fun. That's what makes it fun, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. So I'm just making sure our guest here is ready to come on so we can talk a little bit Harris Chain, and I also want to hear how he did at Grand. And it looks like we're interrupting his dinner, so we're gonna have to ask him what he's eating. So without further ado, our special guest from the Elite Series tonight is Kyle Patrick. So what's up, man? How you doing?
Bonus starts with you, bud. Me and Wesley Gore are chowing down on some Mexican food. It's bad ass.
Good thing the Derby doesn't start tomorrow, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, it would be a problem. It'd be a problem.
Oh, so we got special guest Wesley with you. How are you boys doing?
Oh, you know, we're Wesley's texting. Sorry, we're doing good. I mean, man, this lake is a grind, though. I gotta tell you, like, hardest I've been. I mean, it's always a grind for me, right? Because I'm not that great in Florida for the most part. Like, I haven't quite figured out how to fish for Florida fish are weird. They're just weird. But I mean, I'm thinking like 9.5 pounds gets a check. And I've talked to some people, like, it is that bad right now. I mean, the Harris chain had a huge fish kill. Huge fish kill, like 2 months ago. Yeah, big fish kill. So I think people are going to need to make super long runs and, you know, find really specific areas and kind of milk. You know, if you catch 13 or 14 pounds, it's almost, you almost have to lean off them. You're like, you know, make sure that you sustain. Like, it's, I will say this, it will be the worst tournament weights all year, hands down. No questions asked.
Wow.
Sorry for that spiel. I just got off the water, dude. I just got off the water. Like, it was a grind.
I was there for the kayak series in, it was either very end of January or beginning of February. I don't remember exactly. Yeah. But it fished really well. Guys put up,
you know, really
giants. I that must have been before a fish kill. Because it was good to us.
When was it?
Kayakers killed them all. That's what happened.
That.
when was that?
I want to say it was tail end of January, but it could have been first week of February.
Yeah. So the fish kill was, I don't know when it was, but it was around that time. Either, you know, it was somewhere around that time.
Do they know what caused the fish kill?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But I mean, I wouldn't put money. Like, if you drop me in Lake Harris or like you have to fish the lake, you can't fish canals, you can't fish anything off of Harris, I wouldn't bet money that I'd catch a bass. Like, whoa. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's brutal. Dang. Yeah. So, you know, someone will figure it out, of course. But I do think the weights will be really low.
Have you got any sort of good vibes with that place from, because wasn't that was the last turn of the season, that was where you like punched your ticket for the Elite Series?
God. Dude, like, yeah, I've had, you know, that's what's crazy is like I had to grind then harder than I've ever grinded, right? But it's funny you say that. First day I was here, okay, I'm going down this stretch and I find a shad spawn deal and I catch a 5-pounder. I was like, dang, it's not as bad as people are talking about. Catch a 2-pounder, and I sling my chatterbait out down this grass stretch, and I'm reeling, and all of a sudden I just hear like thunk, and I'm like, did I hit something? And I look back, dude, there's a 4¾-pounder in my boat. It jumped onto the front deck, 4¾, like a big one, on the front deck, and I was just like, is this a sign? Like, am I going to win this tournament or something? Like, what's going on here? And then I quickly realized that I'm not going to win, but it was cool. It was a cool, you know, thing to experience. Like, it really scared me. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, yeah.
Like the bass literally jumped in your kayak, in your bass boat.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. It zero hook. Like my chatterbait was 100 yards in front of the boat. It just jumped in.
See, I want to know if that counts. Like, does that fish? I mean, does that count as a catch?
I was
in your boat.
The amount of people that asked me that, and I said, well, maybe if it jumped in the boat and it kind of got in the gunnel and it kind of calmed down and its mouth was open, and you pitch the jig in its mouth and set the hook, is that sight fishing in the mouth? I don't know.
Oh my gosh. So, but real fast, Clint Bartlett wants to know, before we kind of dive a little bit more into Harris here, he wants to know what your go-to Mexican meal is. What are you guys eating on that fiesta of a table?
Oh yeah. Fajita is a really, you know, is a solid, like, guarantee. Like, if you're kind of like, I don't know if this Mexican food is going to be good or not. Like, I get fajita because it's, you know, everything's kind of separate. You can build your own deal. That's my go-to. For sure.
What we got for cervezas?
I drink Coca-Cola.
Okay, cool. I would actually be drinking a Corona if I was there with you guys.
Actually,
but.
Coca-Cola. Same. Coca-Cola Michelob Ultra. You know what I mean?
Okay, fair, fair. So
yeah,
domestic Coca-Cola. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And when you're in a Mexican place, though, you should at least be drinking like a Tecate.
Right. Thank you, Andy. Yeah, I'm a margarita. I am a margarita fan. You know,
agave tequila going down, but then you're gonna have issues waking up in the morning. So
that's the problem. That's the problem. Yeah, no, but I think are we on the fantasy fishing topic right now? Is that what we're like?
Well, we got sidetracked by Mexican food, but yes. So yeah, like maybe like give us some insight on like, is it going to be, do you think it's going to be a shallow thing? Is it going to be a junk fishing thing deep? Like, and maybe a predominant bait or two, you think it could win the event?
Yeah, I think Pete Robbins just put out an article on Bassmaster that you guys should go read. And it's spot on. Like, it couldn't be more spot on. He has his picks, his backup picks, why. And I think, I mean, he gets it right a lot of the time. Like, if you go back and look at Pete Robbins' fantasy picks, I bet you he would be in, like, the 98th percentile almost every tournament. He basically, like, this is a weird time of year, a really weird, like, transition. Also, the added fish kill. I mean, there was a two-day, just to put it into perspective, on Griffin, there was a two-day local tournament. It took 10.5 pounds a day, and that was 60 boats, okay? So, like, that being said, I mean, it's not going to take that bad. Like, we're going to catch them better than that, but, you know, I think you're going to need a junk fish. You're going to need to really pick apart areas that you think have them. I think the guys... like a Greg Hackney, you know, Gerald Swindle's always in the mix when you're talking about junk fishing. You know, I think it's going to shake things up. This will shake up the points, this tournament, because, you know, it's not like, you know, go out, graph, find a school, you know, throw a plug out there and catch them on shell bars or anything like that. And it's certainly not... There's not an abundance of grass in the lake right now. Like, that's not a thing. They nuked this thing. This thing is nuked. Like, wow. You'll see, like, a tiny, you know, 2-foot-wide, like, square or circle of grass. Like, every – I mean, it's almost impossible to find on Harris itself. But, you know, if you get into Beauclair and you know, Griffin's got some grass, obviously it's hard, but I think someone who can junk fish, you know, maybe fish a canal or two, maybe do this, maybe do that, you know, like jump around and have like a strategic way of running to their primary spot. Like they run to the primary spot and then they kind of junk fish their way back to the ramp. I think that's going to fare well, for a lot of guys if they can kind of not get stuck on one deal, you know?
It's okay. Yeah. It's going to be So you're making it sound like it's going to be – it might be a fun one to watch just because of you don't know the adversity that's going to be. So there's going to be a ton of different patterns going down. So that's exciting for the viewers to hear. But hopefully you guys are able to catch some good fish, and hopefully it's not as bad as you're making it sound out to be. So we're going to hope for the
– Yeah, I'm a little scared.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm terrified now for my picks. Yeah. I'm like, wow, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, so you've convinced me to change my my 4-day weight total that I had. So because I didn't even hear there was a fish kill, I've been so out.
Oh, whatever your weight is, this would be my weight prediction. Truly, if you got 4 days, Wesley, what's your weight prediction?
69.
Come on. I think it's nice. Probably.
How do you not pick that though? Honestly. Good pick, Wesley.
Honestly, the true weight prediction, whatever 16¾ pounds a day is, call it 17. 17 pounds a day, 40, I don't even know what that is. Is it?
About 69.
68.
It's 68? Like 68. Wow.
68 to 70, right. Yeah.
69. Wow. Dude, you know now it's going to be 69 on the dot. That's what's going to win this.
Could you imagine?
Oh, no. I could totally imagine. Wow. Oh, man.
As Justin and Brennan are changing their weight totals as we're speaking.
69,
I'll tell you what. It will not be over 80. I guarantee, I can almost guarantee you it won't be over 80.
Unless it's over 80 on game day.
Yeah, right. Unless somehow this 35 to 45 mile an hour winds we're supposed to have on Thursday, if they cancel and somehow something changes drastically, I don't even know how it would, then there's no way it goes over 80.
Here's a question. Maybe this is like hard to even think about due to what sounds like the absence of bass overall, but like, what do you think is available for a bed fishing angler right now over the course of your tournament? What do you think is available? How much? Enough to survive?
Oh yeah. Yeah. You could survive.
Survive and win. Like,
you can't win.
Okay.
Someone could go out, and if they have committed their time to it, Wesley said it right. I think day one leader or high will be bedfish, because you know I've seen some big ones on bed, like two or three big ones on bed, but it's tail end. So yeah. if you can run into, you know, because I mean, you know, there's 9 pounders here and 10 pounders obviously. So I think day one leader could be bed fishing. It will die. That bite will be gone. You won't be able to do it even 2 days in a row, I don't think.
What does an eclipse do to a bed fish?
I found three fish on beds.
Okay.
You know, so. But that is a good question, because it will play. I'll just say that. It'll play. Like, I wouldn't be surprised to see Drew Cook, Drew Benton, mm-hmm. kind of mix that up. You know, all kinds of – like I said, it's going to be a junk fish tournament. There'll be guys that fish beds, you know, starting at noon that, you know, threw a chatterbait down a Kissimmee grass and fish stocks and fish offshore grass. Like, they will do it all.
Yeah, sounds fun at least, as long as the fish bite.
Right.
Then here's a kind of spin off of Brennan's point. How far does that one big bite go? I mean, it always goes far in Florida, it seems like, but if it's going to be a grinder, like a 10 pounder is,
oh my God.
I mean, that's an entire day.
If you catch a 10 pounder and back it up with five keepers, you almost, let's call them 2 pounders. You know, if you catch 18 on day one, you will be able to catch 3.5 pounds and cut a check on the, like 3.5 pounds on day two and cut a check. It'll take 10.75 pounds a day to get paid. You heard it here first. Now I could be vastly wrong, but just wait. Like the weights are gonna be bad.
He says this now, everyone's going to show up with 20-pound bags, right? Watch.
I know it's not going to happen, but I'm going to be like, I'm sorry.
Century belt.
April Fool.
Yeah, we're a little late for that. I love it. So, well, Kyle, before we let you go here, I want to say congrats on making and fishing your first Bassmaster Classic. You had a great event there. Oh, and he's frozen. Somebody should really screenshot that photo of him. That's pretty good.
He's speechless, Andy. He was so so glad to hear what you just said.
Yeah. So, but we'll let Kyle go here, enjoy his Mexican food. We're going to talk a little bit and congratulate him on his Grand Lake Bassmaster Classic berth, but hopefully he makes next year at Ray Roberts. So we're going to let him go here so nobody can take his face and make good photos of it. But good luck, Kyle, and we'll be watching and rooting on you this weekend, and we'll chat soon. So, all right. Well, Kyle is out of here, and I want to remove him from the studio. Okay, he's gone. So before we start really diving into the event first, he talked about like 40-mile-an-hour winds on Thursday. So I pulled up the weather report for Eustis, Florida, and I don't see 40-mile-an-hour winds anywhere, except for maybe Thursday afternoon. So, I mean, it's speaking on being, from what it sounds like, a horrible event, but I'm sure now you're going to have a couple anglers that come right to mind that are probably going to crack them day one and two, and then pray they have enough backup fish to last day three and four. So... makes me want to like rethink my picks.
Me too. Like after hearing Kyle, it reminds me of like some of these old school throwback tournaments, mm-hmm. you know, 15, 20 years ago where, you know, the lake was on a downward trend, I guess, and the weights were very low, different than it's been the last few visits. Like I remember, I think it was Iaconelli. If he didn't win, he was near the top in one of these little backwater canals, catching, you know, not catching the sort of giants that we've seen the last few years. It'd be who would have thought Harris Chain would be like what's the river? My brain is
like an Arkansas River type event, or like
Arkansas River, or Sabine,
Cooper
Sabine,
River, Sabine,
yeah,
Winyah mm-hmm. Bay. Like it goes on and on.
They thought that they were getting away from it this year, and
yeah, that's and crazy. It's happening at a place that, like, you know, if we would have been here like a month or two ago, it could have been century belts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that nuts to think about?
High school kids are putting up 30-pound bags down there.
Yeah. Almost makes you sick as a bass angler.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Somebody is going to catch them no matter what. So it's like it might take 60 pounds. It could also take 80, because all it takes is to find that one or two magic offshore shell beds. And they're loaded with giants, right? So who knows what's going to happen. I mean, like, with all the chain of lakes too, it's so hard to cover and break down and graph in 3 days of practice, right? Like every little spot, and maybe some of the local guys, like this might be a heads up for a guy like Scott Martin, who may have went up and pre-fished and graphed some of these lakes, or has had time there this time of year over a lot of the other anglers. So there might be even a home field advantage for some of the anglers there. So it's going to be.
Yeah, for sure. And you also heard Kyle say too, like there's a very real amount of like high quality fish to catch off beds right now. I think I heard Wesley speak up in the background too and said like day one leader probably will be winning bed fishing, right? Or leading bed fishing. So that's kind of wild. And it might offer a very volatile leaderboard, or at least you know, you're going to get to see some cool shallow fishing at least part of the time. So,
yeah, it's too bad you couldn't pick like your picks on a day-to-day basis, right? Like every day kind of pick a new pick, because I think that's what's going to happen in this event is you're going to see a lot of ups and downs, guys. Your typical Florida fishery, right? Like one day somebody might have 23, 24 pounds. The next day they could catch 8 pounds for five. And then the third day they catch 18. And then the final day, oh, look, more new bedfish that showed up randomly and they catch mm-hmm. 25 again. So that's the cool mystique about Florida fishing is you just never really know what's going to go on unless it's full-blown spawn. And then the guys who find the big females end up doing really well. And if you don't find the females, you get left way in the dust. So should we get moving on to making our picks here?
We shall.
If
we have to. All right. So I don't have Sheikin's picks or Boomer's. But also, I just I messaged one of my buddies that lives in Florida, and I go, "How is Harris fishing right now?" And he goes, "16 pounds is good with all uppercase letters." And he said there was a local derby this weekend, not the best fisherman, but only 16 pounds won. So,
ooh.
Yeah, so Kyle wasn't probably too far off, you know.
No,
that fish kill thing, like that's a scary story. I hope like the world knows ultimately the whole story.
I hope they talk about it on stage.
Yeah. I mean, if it had that dramatic of an impact on that fishery, that seems like something that the world should talk about or know about, right?
Yeah.
And I had heard that they were nuking, kind of like I was saying, a popka, where it had kind of been left alone. And at least from what I understand, it had been a wasteland for a number of years. And then here recently, it got really good. A lot of guys, you know, over the last few times Stephen Bass has been there, guys are locking through to specifically to fish a popka, you know, just loaded with grass. And if they if they killed all that grass, I mean, it kind of makes me wonder why.
Yeah, and then
turn into a big mud bowl, like chain of mud.
And that's what I thought. I was like, maybe Opaka is going to be like the wild card where guys go down there and catch them in like that Kissimmee grass, and they do really well. But now you might see guys fishing like Lake Dora offshore in the, because I think Dora is like the cleaner lake. I think they're going to be in one of those clean lakes fishing offshore shell beds and praying.
Boat Claire is really clear too.
Yeah. Boat Claire. Yeah. Boat Claire is another one. That's a good spawn lake though, usually, isn't it, Boat Claire? Because of how clear it is.
It is. The last 2 years that I've been down there, there's been a bunch of eelgrass. It's, you know, like a lot of those, like it's kind of bowl shaped, but it's got a ton of eelgrass and just it's a great, great spawning habitat. But big fish get caught everywhere, but they also get caught out of that lake.
So it's going to be interesting. You might see a lot of people like on top of each other, just cannibalizing fish as well. So might be a type of tournament where you see guides get away from the beaten path and find something like sneaky and catch them really well. So it's, I'm excited to see it, but I'm not excited at the same time. So I think we should get into our picks real fast. And I got Bailey's pulled up here. So we're going group E to A, correct? Is the way we've been doing it this year.
Yes, sir.
So
works for me.
I'll start with Bailey's pick. He took Caleb Kufall in group E. And then Brennan, if you want to start us, and we'll kind of come back through here.
Yeah, I also took Caleb Kufall. Caleb's a grass wizard, so I think he kind of had his debut, absolutely had his debut at Gunnersville, fishing grass post-spawn, and had the second largest margin of victory with like over 17 pounds over second place. So yeah, the guy can fish grass. Hopefully there's still plenty of grass. Sounds like there's still ridiculous amounts, right? He's a really good grass fisherman, all in all. Ice in his veins, slow, pretty good in Florida. You know, maybe pitching a jig up shallow, something old school. So I picked Caleb Kufall.
I think it's a good pick. How about you, Justin?
I went with Joey Cifuentes. And my logic, I think, that I went through and made these picks shortly after Fork. And I went with a lot of kind of the old school, traditional, like your Greg Hackney, Gerald Swindle types. And they did not have a great tournament compared to the Scopers. And after that tournament, I vowed I am going all Scopers the rest of the year. And that was before I had the knowledge that I have that Kyle shared with us about the fish kill and all that. So I'm not sure.
So you flopped. It went right back.
I still like the pick. It I didn't change it. But I mean, all these guys are versatile. They'll find a way to catch him. And Joey's got a win down there. Surprised me a little bit that he's in group E, but
he's had a rough start to the year.
His win was on Seminole, but it's Florida. So,
And he was catching him deep. So, I mean, that's a good pick, I think. So I took Brian Smith. I probably took Boomer's pick here. I know there was an MPFL event there in the fall that Brian did really, really well in. So that's why I went there. And I got to gain some more ground here in fantasy. So he's due for another good tournament. He had a pretty decent classic, I believe. So he's got some momentum behind him now. So, we're going to take Brian Smith out of group E. All right, ready for D. And like I said, I don't have Adam Deacon's picks or Jake Boomer's. So just the four of us today. So group D, Bailey is taking Scott Martin, which I think I have a funny feeling we're all probably on that train or one or two other guys. So Brennan.
Yeah, I took Scotty Mart too. Do you really have to really say anything? It's Scott Martin. It's Florida. He backs himself up pretty well. So hard to get away from him. Nothing else to say.
Justin.
Yeah, I did the same. I went with Scott. It was a little bit, that John Cox, I think, is another guy that would have made a lot of sense. He was, I was looking at the percentages. It looks like 35% owned Cox and 25% Martin. That was part of my thinking, is that maybe that's a way for me to make a little bit of ground back. I think either one of those is a great choice. And then I also noticed Buddy Gross in that group at only 5% with a win down there the last time the elites were there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that offshore bite is there this time, but I thought that would have been it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, he's one of those guys that'll figure it out.
Chatterbait a little bit.
Yep. I thought that'd be another sneaky one. I felt like Scott Martin, though. I mean, it's, you know, even if he doesn't win, I feel like he's going to have a good tournament. You know, with all that local knowledge, he's going to have a good showing.
Yeah, and he's another guy too, right? Like, he's safe, so you don't have to be. He's not worried about getting kicked out of the Elite Series. He's already in the Classic next year, so all year he's probably just going to swing for it and try to win another Blue Trophy because he's already in the Classic for next year at Ray Roberts. So he's a good pick, I think, to go there. I'm not going to take the Scott Martin train. I'm actually going to go John Cox. If they're spawners, he's probably going to catch them day one and two. And then he's just going to wacky rig his way around the event the rest of the time. And he'll probably come in with a limit each day of day three and four if he makes it that far. So I think he's a lock for at least a good finish in the top 35. So my pick is going to be John Cox. And I try not to take like the high percentage guys, but his track record on like Harris is unreal. You just can't bet against him. And he's having kind of a rough start to his season, so he's due for a really good event. So, all right, Group C, who do you guys got? Oh, I should probably do Bailey's first and stay on track, right?
Sure.
I'm all over the place here. So Bailey took Brian Schmidt, which is a really great pick for Florida.
Bailey's copying me.
Oh boy. Well, now we know Justin's. So Brennan.
I went John Soakup on this one, and I'll be honest, I feel even better about this pick now knowing that it's going to be a grind. I went into this thinking like this was going to be a slugfest likely, and I still wanted John Soakup. Knowing that it's a grind now, I like him even better. You know, you think like it's a guy that sat out a classic, you know, in his own state, like, and I mean no disrespect by that, like I have a ton of respect for this guy, but like I got to believe he's got a little fire under his you know what right now, and wants to get his season back on track. He's got a seventh place finish here last fall, another grinder tournament, right? So yeah. I like him here.
Yeah, I think that's a good sneaky pick at 0.9%. That's very unlikely, unlike you, to take a low percentage guy over
the top. He is very, very high margin if he pays off, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great pick. So I was torn between two guys. I was torn between Brian Schmidt and Drew Cook. Based off of Kyle Patrick's knowledge, I actually decided to change my pick before we got to this point. I'm going to take Drew Cook. The guy is unbelievable with spawners. And I'm sure once he saw one, he probably drove around and was like, where can I find 10 more of these to get me through 2 days, or 15 more of these fish to get me through 2 days? So I think Drew Cook's going to be a lock for at least the top 50 finish, especially when there's a spawning event. When they said it was basically done at Santee, I think was the year he won his Blue Trophy, right? Or the second year, it was almost done. He caught him there still on beds all 4 days. So the guy is incredible spawn fisherman, and he's good at kind of junking it up too and just kind of clawing his way through fish like events. So Drew Cook is going to be my pick there for Group C.
Yeah, and I guess Kyle's made me a little uneasy, because for me, I'm assuming Bailey's logic was the same as mine with Brian Schmidt. I mean, he's a legend on grass fisheries.
Incredible.
He's won more money than anybody in the Potomac. And then he's won multiple times on the Mississippi River. Just when he gets around grass, he's really, really hard to beat.
I think he's won in Florida too, either on the FLW or like an open. I don't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure he's won down there or had like top fives.
Like, could be
right on the cusp. Yeah.
And Champlain. The only part that scares me a little bit now is that, you know, if there's no grass, it kind of takes away the. I'm sure he'll find some.
He'll find grass. I'm not worried. Grass fishermen always find grass or a way to catch them out of wet grass. there is. So, yeah, going to be interesting. All right, Group B, Bailey took Pat Schlopper, which that's kind of a fun pick for B, I think. Guy just shows up when there's big fish. How about you, Brennan? Who'd you take?
Yeah, one thing just to note on Pat Schlopper. I mean, that's a Wisconsin, you know, like Chippewa flowage style angler, like another phenomenal grass fisherman that jives really well with that style fishery, right? Like Florida in general. So yeah. Just think about like the Minnesota and Wisconsin guys that go down to Florida and have success, like quite a few of them, you know, and you're starting to see more of them. But anyways, I really like that pick. I picked Drew Benton. You know, Drew Cook's
right back on track, huh?
Yeah,
Jones.
Yeah, 29.1 had to take him. But no, honestly, like Drew Cook's counterpart, all the points that you made about Drew Cook and how he's going to excel, same deal here. It's same thing. So Drew Benton.
Between the two of them, they probably know where 50 fish are on beds, and they can kind of work together because they room together. So, you know,
remember the same T event a few years ago when Drew Cook won, and it was like the Drew show, the Drews.
I mean,
that was a cool event.
Right. Yeah. Right. Could happen here.
And we'll they're fishing pretty close to each other the entire time too, weren't they?
Right. Yep. Not too far. Not too far. And neither one of them didn't bed fish the entire time. That's all they did.
It, like when I think Florida, like I feel like when they used to kick off the season in Florida, the first one who always put a fish on the board was Drew Benton. And it was always between like a 5 and 9 pounder on a bed on day one. Like the first fish coming across on live would always be a giant. And it was always Drew Benton for some reason. I think it was the same spot every time they went to the St. John's. The guy just understands bed fishing. Justin, how about you?
I went with a lower percentage pick on this one. I like Luke Palmer. And I think when I made the pick initially, I was thinking, you know, somebody who's good with scope. But I think he's won on Santee last year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he turned around and he's figured out the smallmouth too. I think he's really versatile. He's been really hot the last couple seasons. He's a friend of the show, and they've been hot lately. So I like Luke Palmer, especially at 4%.
Incredibly consistent.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I'm not where I want to be in the standings. So trying to gain a little ground with those lower percentage picks.
I like that one. That's a good one.
Time to swing. So. I went back and forth between two guys. I was like, do I go with the community hole fisherman and just kind of grinds his way through fisheries and John Garrett, his rookie season on the Elite Series? Or do I want to take somebody that will probably utilize the very end of the spawn if it's happening still? And I went with the spawn guy in Drew Benton before even like knowing what was going on with the lake, just because it's Florida. If there's 5 fish on beds for day one, he's probably going to catch those 5 fish on bed and have 20 to 24 pounds and ride the high the rest of the tournament and just kind of scrap his way through bites. So Drew Benton is going to be a lock for me there in Group B.
Yeah, right, he knows some of those canals. Definitely, he's got some spots. The only thing that, you know, not to question your pick, I have a feeling you're going to be right on that, but I wonder if the main lakes are fishing that tough. I wonder if instead of seeing kind of what we've seen in the past, like where it's a carousel around these grass flats, if we see just a boat,
a triage of boats
doing laps around these little canals.
It could be, but like that being said, there's still going to be main lake spawners too. So, and I'm sure on that. It's just, where are they? And like in the counterpart, that is, there's so much Kissimmee grass. I'm sure you can go and flip up a limit every day fishing Kissimmee grass with whatever soft plastic or jig choice that you want to do. You might see a prop bait play too, and just covering a lot of water with that post spawn bite. So that could be some fun, epic topwater fishing. And both Drew Benton and Cook, I believe, are really good. Specifically, Benton is really good with that prop bait, but I think Cook is really good with it as well.
Scott Martin as well, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. All those Florida guys know how to throw that dang thing.
Yeah.
See some old school lures come out this weekend. It's going to be fun. The Bagley one and then the Smithwick one will probably be the top two prop baits, right, Brennan?
The Devil's Horse, that's right.
The Devil's Horse, oh yeah. All right. Group A, Bailey went with Jay Shakirat, so he's thrown in a forward-facing offshore guy. Brennan, how about you?
Another Wisconsin guy, see? I'm telling you, there's something
to it. It translates well.
It does. It really does. I have absolutely no reason to move off of Ben Milliken at this point. So he's got a second-place finish during an absolute grinder event last fall. Fishing insanely well, obviously, for the season. So I'm not moving away from Ben.
I don't blame you. Justin?
I kept it pretty simple. I went with one of the hottest anglers in the sport, making a run at Angler of the Year seemingly every year, but over the last 5 years, I went Patrick Walters. He can catch him if there's an offshore bite scoping.
Consistent.
Exactly. He'll figure out a way seemingly everywhere they go, he's catching this fish. So I felt like that was a pretty safe pick for me.
Yeah, I'm swinging on my Group A pick just slightly, I think, even though I believe he won a BPT event on Harris Chain. I'm going to pick Jordan Lee for the second time this year out of Group A. The guy jives well with big Florida strain fish, and he's good on Harris Chain. So I think that's somebody I can count on to at least get me a top 35. And he can do just about everything and catch them. He might be the guy you ultimately see catch one on a bed, run out to a shell bar, catch one, fish a dock or a canal, run. So Jordan Lee, he came back to Elise on a vengeance. So, and it's a little bit different than everyone else.
He's making a splash, reminding people.
Yep.
Reminding people, the guys that maybe didn't follow MLF. Like, because I know personally, it's harder for me to follow MLF than it is Bass. And some of those guys that left, it's, man, a bunch of them, when they come back, they hear their name a lot.
Yeah. Come back angry. So yeah, it's gonna be exciting. So should we do Drain the Lake first before we go into total weight, or do we want to talk about total weight now for the event?
It's up to you, boss.
All right, let's do it at the end of Drain the Lake. So let's get it pulled up here. I'm gonna stop sharing the screen real fast because I have to remove and write down my picks for Drain the Lake. And for those, if you're new here at this point, just know we're missing Deacon and Boober tonight, along with Bailey, because Bailey is having a lot of computer issues. So that is why you have to deal with me running the show today. But appreciate everyone who is hanging on to this.
Good job, Andy. I'm not doing good job.
A terrible fine job here. So give me one second here for my Drain the Lake so I don't miss anything. Yeah, I'm trying to go in
and change one of my picks.
Ooh.
Yeah, you guys were talking about Caleb Kufal. I'm going to add him to my list.
Like it.
One other thing to note on the Caleb Kufal deal, I don't think we talked about it, but like when he won Gunnersville by 17 pounds, that was like the same deal. Like anglers were complaining, this is going to be the worst Gunnersville tournament you've ever seen, right? Caleb Kufal wins by 17 pounds, 4 ounces. Like that's nuts. Right? So kind of walking into maybe another one of those.
Yeah. You know, sometimes guys just show up.
Hang on. I think I already used him. That's the problem. I know he's good.
I had him and scratched him. I started, moving. Like I said, I was after that Fork tournament when those scopers were doing crazy things I'd never seen before. Breaking a fish off on a jerkbait, following the fish, catching the same fish, getting their bait back. And I was like, all right, I'm scopers the rest of the year. So I made a bunch of changes to my initial picks.
For that to happen, like that's just unreal. And it's happened more than once this year, I think, too, right? Like where a guy has chased down a fish and caught it with its jerkbait or whatever your cricket tickling minnows like stuck in its face. So it's pretty wild to see exactly like what happens with those forward facing fish, and that they'll actually bite more than once if you know how to present a bait to that, which is unreal. Because you know, we've always been told, yeah, if you stick them once, they're probably gonna take 3 or 4 days before they even think about biting a lure again. It like,
yeah, the only time I've ever had something like that happen where you catch a fish is smallmouth, like river smallmouth, that are just, you know, an hour later, you know, you see the same fish, you know, swimming with the jerk bait in its face, chasing, you know, other fish with a bait. But I've never heard of that happening with largemouth until I saw it on the Elite series.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just insane. And I mean, I think that's one of the cool parts about forward facing sonar, and we're not going to dive into that rabbit hole tonight, but it is cool to show you fish behavior, and that when they're hungry, they're going to eat again. So, all right, ready for the Drain the Lake roster?
Let's do it.
I don't have Bailey's picks at the moment, so I just asked him for it. So, Brennan, I'm going to have you start it off here.
All right, here we go. So I'm going Greg Hackney, Scott Martin, John Soakup, Corey Johnston, using a Canadian, not at a smallmouth event.
Burning them now, huh?
Yeah, I've just learned like to spread them out, like use them to do different, you know, points here, points there, spread them out. Don't use them at the same time, right? John Cox, Stetson Blaylock, Tyler Rivette, Caleb Kufel.
That's a solid roster. It.
We'll see.
How about you, Justin?
All right. I got some of the same names, but I got some different ones too. I went with Scott Martin, John Cox, Tyler Williams, Tyler Rivette, Brian Schmidt, Clifford Perch, Kobe Krieger, and Caleb Kufel.
Those are all solid picks. So I got Cox, Martin, Bernie Schultz, Sofuentes, John Garrett, Brandon Lester, who also has a win, I believe, on the Harris Chain as an open. Greg DePalma, who just kind of hangs around and every once in a while in these grass fisheries will show up, catching them on a trap. And Kyle Patrick rounding out my Drain the Lake team. So,
I like it.
I think this is where the great debate's going to start, right, is talking about weights. Because I'm sure before we found out about the fish kill, we were all in the 80s. Because it's Florida and it usually takes like 20 pounds a day to win, 20 to 22 pounds with a bad day rate on average. So I'm curious, because I mean, Bailey's, I'll tell you right now, I told him that there is a fish kill and he's sticking to his guns that I have. He may change it, but he has 89-12.
Ooh, I like it. Sticking to his guns.
And that's before he found out. Well, he never responded to me when I told him there was a fish kill. So who knows? But Brennan, what is your thoughts on the total weight pounds and ounces for this
derby? So I'll be honest. I was in the 80s. I think I was actually flirting with 90 probably going into this, and I deleted it.
I think I originally had 86.
Yeah, no, for sure. I was like somewhere right in there. And then I got a little gun shy after Kyle came on, and I backed it down to 72.6. But like, I still feel like, you know, somebody like a Milliken last year that showed us like, hey, I've got some random little brush pile spot all to myself. Like, why couldn't somebody go in there and just mop up, you know, at least 2 days, go, you know, get a mega bag out of there or something, or 1, 2, 3 anchor fish that carry you throughout the tournament, right? So I don't know. I still think 72.6 might be light. I do, but I'm also not down there, so I don't know the weight of that, right?
And it's crazy. All somebody needs to do is find a magic brush pile, and it's loaded with 6 to 8 bounders, right? And they need 20 of them, and if they find 3 or 4 brush piles that are loaded, that, to be honest, you know, locals, like, and I'm not saying that weekend, that tournament last weekend we heard about was bad, but a lot of times in local fisheries, local anglers tend to stick more to their guns than explore. And it's probably the same way for you, Brennan. But like a lot of these guys that fish locally, you can't almost always trust their weights on exactly how the fishery is fishing, because if something changes, a lot of times they're later to the party to adjusting than guys coming in with an open mind to a new body of water for them that year.
Right. I mean, honestly, when the elites come to town, the weights go up, period. Yeah. Plain and simple, every time. I honestly can't name an instance like where that wasn't the case, right? Unless, I don't know, maybe something crazy happened. But typically, like, you see local weights are 18. Add a few pounds for the elites when they come to town, usually, right?
Yeah. So if it was 16 last weekend, it's probably going to be 19 to 20 average to win, because somebody is going to figure out how to catch them. But it's also Florida. So like we mentioned in the beginning of the show, roughly, that one day somebody might catch 26 pounds on bed and the next day they might have 9. So it's, where does that 4-day average fall? Is it in that 16 range or is it in 19 to 20 to get them to that 80 pound mark? So that's going to be the fun spot. Justin, what do you have?
I was initially very high. I think I was 96 something. Before we talked to Kyle. So I went significantly lower. I went down to 80 pounds and an ounce. You know, Kyle said there's no way they'd be above 80. I feel like there's and there's so many times that we hear from the elites about how difficult practice was, and then they go out and smash them in the tournament. Not saying that's going to happen this time, but I feel like there's always somebody that finds them. And then, you know, the possibility of giant fish down there, if somebody, well, I'll put it this way, if the same guy gets two giants, you know, that can make a huge difference. You know, you get a couple of 8 to 10 pound fish, the same guy lucks into those giants. I feel like that can throw that number a little high. So I went 81.
Yeah, I like it. It's a good adjustment to come down from where you were, but you didn't take the top off and go into the 60s, which could have been a scary leap as well and been left far behind. So
I went too low. I already know I went too low.
I'm kind of in the middle. I'm very nervous about the weight, but I mean, in the grand scheme of things, the weight only gets you bonus points if there's a tie, right? I believe is what it is, or if you fall directly on the weight. So I have 78.3 because I think, and this was my thought process before when we were talking offline, it's like, how many fish are on beds? Because that's the big wild card, right? Like, these guys are the best in the world at finding those fish on bed that nobody even thinks that they're around still. They always seem to find something. So 78.3, you have one or two big days for the winter, and then they're going to have a crap day because something will change in the weather, or they just have to refigure it out. So, yeah. I'm looking forward to this event. I hope you guys are as well. It's going to be very, very interesting, I think. And it's going to be exciting to see how it goes down. So what are your final thoughts before we round it out here?
Yeah, Florida's always fun. The way they catch them, you know, they can definitely catch them offshore, catch them deep. But I love that shallow bite. I love seeing guys throwing frogs, throwing those prop baits, even a wacky rig, catching big fish on spinning rods. I feel like it's going to be plenty of fun bites for the guys that, you know, that complain about the seeing the guys out offshore with the little minnows and stuff. So hopefully, you know, everybody gets their fill on shallow bites.
Yeah. I feel like when you start having like grass bomb and kill offs and kiss me grass plays, you might see some like epic frog bites go down in that post-spawn period.
That would be really good.
And in practice, they might not even cast at this stuff because they're like, ooh, I think I could roll in there and get a fish to bite something. So a lot of the times these guys don't even fish that much. They're just rolling around, but like, oh crap, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then by the end of the last practice day, they're like, oh, this looks good. I think this is where I'm going to start. And all of a sudden they got 22 pounds in the boat in 40 minutes. And you're like, oh, I thought it was going to be 9 pounds a day. Like, Brendan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, just kind of piggybacking off what you guys already said, like just the, you know, likelihood that we're going to get to see some awesome real shallow fishing. not maybe as much forward facing sonar, although I promise you we're still going to see it play. Somebody in the top 10, if multiple, you're still going to see it. But like
that'll probably be.
And I think that'll be maybe the most interesting thing is like we're going to like what in theory should be dominated by dirt shallow fishing. We'll see, you know, the yin and the yang, how much live scopes in this one. That's what I'm kind of interested to see more than anything.
It's like how many speedworm catches will we see as opposed to drop shot catches?
Right. So, or jerk bait. Yeah. Glide bait, perhaps. Haven't talked about that.
Yeah. It is Florida. And trap chatterbait. I think it's all going to be in play. I think on the first day of the tournament, whoever is on live, you're going to see five different techniques go down, unless it's Drew Benton and Drew Cook. Then they'll be on bed fishing. You'll have four different techniques going down. Mm-hmm. So
I'm curious who they pick for live. I think that could be interesting.
I mean, that should be like a prop bet we should have started, who we thought the five guys on live would be. Maybe that's something we can integrate next year. But definitely Scott Martin, John Cox. You'll probably have Milliken. Milliken or one of the young scopers, offshore guys.
Who won the Open there last year?
Was it Tyler Williams, I think.
Okay, if that's the case, I'd imagine he'd probably have one, right?
Maybe. Or you're going to have Trey McKinney on, or Hamner, because he just won the Classic.
Ooh, Hamner for sure. Yeah, we're getting Hamner.
Because at Santee Cooper, the week or two after they won Santee, Jason Christie was literally back in the cypress trees just banging around like, I don't care. Like,
yeah, he bombed bad. But at that point,
he did not care. I don't think he cared at all.
Classic hangover.
Who's leading the AOY right now? Is it McKinney?
It's one of those young kids. Hold on.
I thought McKinney and... Was it Milliken? I know there were a couple guys that were close.
Milliken's top 10, I believe.
Yeah, it goes McKinney, second. Milliken, Walters, Hamner, Fujita, Gore, Gallant, Blaylock, Williams, and Jordan Lee.
And Milliken and McKinney are tied for first.
Yeah, and Patrick Walters is 1 point behind.
I wouldn't be surprised if those three guys are – those top three there are – are featured also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be. It's going to be because Patty Walters is always good in Florida. It's going to be very interesting to see what goes down on that first day.
And hopefully, Andy, I think that's
going to set the tune.
Andy,
loves that.
You had Lester. You were the one that had Lester in your Drain the Lake, right?
In my Drain the Lake, yeah.
I was thinking about that. That's another one, man. His track record down there is in Florida. It's like his worst early finish though. Is like in the 20s. Ooh, yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point.
Early, but I mean, a trap always plays in Florida. You might see like that old school gold black trap come out, and somebody's just going to be ripping grass, and like all we've heard about is how the grass is gone. Grass is gone. All of a sudden, they're ripping a golden black trap and catching. 4 pounders. So it's going to be.
I think, was it Swindle? I don't think it was Harris Chain. Swindle's open win. It's been a number of years now, but I'm pretty sure he was
Ross Barnett or something.
It was somewhere down in Florida, I thought. I'm blanking on the lake, though. But I thought he was fishing a shell bed, and I thought he was banging a trap on through the shell bed. I could be wrong.
Probably not.
I'm
looking it up now to see.
But
as you can see, his win. So first place finish was. Oh yeah, it was on Kissimmee. You're right. Kissimmee. 2011 in his three. Because I think it was 3 days. Yeah, 3 day total was 80 pounds 13 ounces.
I remember hearing him speak live, telling the story about kind of like mental fortitude and his co-angler. You know, he's leading the tournament. He's put up two massive sacks. His co-angler throws a trap in there, you know, not even on the shell bed, and catches giants on back-to-back casts. I still remember that story. I thought that was insane. But yeah, I remember throwing a trap.
Yeah, he's somebody who always does good there, but I'm terrified to pick him because when I pick him, he burns me. So I was like for this event, like my when I first did the picks right after the Classic, and I've gone through and changed them a couple times since, I'm like, well, I got to pick Hackney. I got to pick Swindle because it's Florida, right? Like, they're going to catch him the way I want to catch him. I'm like, no, nah, it's not that game anymore. And I was like, all right, who do I really want to pick here? And then I'm talking to Kyle. I'm like, crap, now I got to change a couple of my picks again. Like, yep. Son of a gun. Yep. So, but no, it's going to be fun. The event starts Thursday, goes through Sunday, I believe. And I look forward to watching some of the live coverage because we're going to have some crappy weather here Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So I might be able to watch a little bit. So
nice.
That'll be good. So who do you think is going to win the event? And what will Big Fish be since we didn't cover that? Ooh.
Pass. I'm going to have to think for a minute.
Let me look at my Drain the Lake roster real fast. Yeah.
I already know who you're picking, Brennan. You're picking Milliken.
I wouldn't. No, he's not available for Drain the Lake. I already took him for the Classic, ooh. So I guess I technically can't. But no, I mean, honestly, if I could pick five people that had like an honest chance in my mind, he'd certainly be one of them. Man, I don't know. I just think like, with as weird as that place is fishing by the sounds of it, like it could be a deal where a local could have a massive advantage. Honestly, like
Scott Martin.
And Scott Martin's a hammer in Florida anyways. Like, I'm not just trying to paint the picture of like, he's a local and that's why. I think Scott Martin's got a very solid chance.
You see like an oddball win? Not even saying it's an oddball because he's a really good angler, but like this might be an event that you don't want to sleep on Kobe Krieger. Because he lives right there. When it gets to like these grimy, weird events, he just seems to catch them. Like every time you're like, why? Kobe Krieger's in the top 10. Like, what the heck is going on here? And he's doing something different than everyone else. It's usually like a popper or a topwater situation that he arises. And it's that time of year where I think Kobe Krieger could be a really weird pick to get a win. But it's probably going to be like, truthfully, it's probably going to be an offshore scope deal that one of these young kids is going to figure out. And they're going to live with catching 2 to 3 pounders, filling their limit, and then they're going to get 1 to 2 big bites every other day that's going to put them in there. Because that's usually how the pre-spawn events go down. It's they get a limit of 2 pounders, 1 to 2 pounders, and they catch 2 giants. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's usually what happens. So, and if they're killing the grass, where are these fish going to go? They're going to go real shallow or they're going to go deep to shell beds.
I think my brain is telling me somebody like a local, like Scott Martin, but I'm going to go with gut. I like Brian Schmidt a lot. He's had some success down there. You know, we were talking earlier, great grass fisherman. I'd like to see him get the win.
Yeah, it's been what? Champlain was his last win on the Elite Series, I think, right?
Yep, he was runner-up at the Classic last year. And I think that was his top finish last year, was that runner-up to Gussie.
Also like a Stetson Blaylock a lot, like just a gut pick, you know?
Another good gut pick too could be like an Austin Felix. Hasn't done much lately, but when it comes to these grimy weird events, he just seems to always find a school of fish out there by himself. Like the one example I can think of is Santee Cooper a couple years ago in the fall when they went there, and he had that offshore Lake Marion fish all to himself when everyone else was like just kind of junk fishing around. He sat on one school basically for 4 days and almost won it. He just never got the big bite.
Was it Oahu where he got the win?
Yep.
Yeah.
Kind of another, like you're saying, weird kind of a, not the bite everybody was expecting, but yeah, he figured him out.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I kind of like dark horse. Like, it seems like whenever you get like one of these weird, grimy, don't know events, it's always somebody that is a dark horse. Like, I haven't heard his name in a while. And all of a sudden, oh, now he's back and rides a momentum train the rest of the year because he won. And it like re-kickstarts their season for him. So I just hope for a really good event. The thunder showers stay away. But yeah, I guess we can wrap it up there, guys. What do you think? Hold on. When is the next event before we do wrap it up? Is it next week? Like right into?
I think they go right into St. John's.
Is it St. John's? Oh, it is St. John's. That's gonna be a weird one.
Yeah.
Ooh, burning up all of our Florida guys before we're out of Florida.
Yeah, that's, I was trying to be careful with that.
Imagine if this was flipped, because you know there's more spawners probably at St. John's right now than there is Harris Chain, because it's just slightly more north.
Right. I hope I got my John Cox, Scott Martin rotation correct. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. I don't have them reversed. That would really... I burned them both for Train the Lake, so I'm ruined.
Yeah, I used them both. I had them switched, and my little notepad's a mess of scratched out names and re-penciled in and scratched out again.
Long division, some calculus on there. Meteorology for some reason.
But to be honest, like for the St. John's, I don't really like John Cox or Martin there, to be honest. So I'd unless they can go like way up into the headwaters of St. John's, but I don't think they can run that far.
In 22, when John Cruz won, I'm pretty sure John Cox was second. I think he finished second.
Yeah, but he was betting fish in the same lake, that one lake where they turn right. I can't think of the name of it, but normally it was off limits.
Rodman?
And it was open for that. Yeah, Rodman. And Patty Walters is right there.
I don't remember. I don't remember that specific part, but.
Yeah, I think like all of the top 10 came out of Rodman in that St. John's, and so it's going to be interesting to see. And then you had Gary Klaus, who made like the longest run ever to fish one pencil reed for 2 days.
He crushed him for 2 days and then caught one the last day?
But it held out. That's Florida, right? You catch two big bags and you're in it. So it's wild. But anyways, stay tuned. Tomorrow is Tuesday Night Live. We have an awesome guest coming on. Bailey already told me who it is, and I completely forgot. So bear with me here as I pull up. We have, I think, if I remember correctly, it's Emil Wagner, but let me double check that. And I think we're going to dive into that event that just went down on Lanier. Was it the TAA event? Was that what it was called?
Yeah, TAA.
Where there was no scope, no 360, et cetera.
That could be cool.
Making sure. Yep. Emil Wagner will be on Tuesday Night Live tomorrow night. Hopefully we don't have any more technical difficulties. So tune into that. And Justin, do you have a kayak fishing weekly this week?
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to have one. I don't have the guest or anything lined up just yet, but we're going to have one.
Stay tuned.
And I apologize for the not having one last week. I got sucked into that tournament. After practice, I didn't think I was going to do particularly well. And then when I was in the mix, I was like, I bailed on doing a show, so I apologize.
It's all good. Things happen. So, and then, stay tuned. We'll be back next Monday night to preview the Fantasy Fishing show for St. John's Bassmaster Elite. So I think that's going to be a fun 2-week stretch here. And, thanks everyone for tuning in and hanging out with me and dealing with me being kind of all over the place, but now, hopefully we get our technical difficulties situated and we will see everyone next week. Well, tomorrow night, I guess. So, man, round this out real bad. So, see ya.
Well, that was an awesome show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you can and your app allows it, please leave us a rating and review. It really helps us get seen more, which allows us to access more time and more variables to be able to bring to the show to make it better for you guys. So hope you enjoyed it. And if you did and you like some of the things we talked about in this episode and want to check out our show partners, all of that is in every single show description. You can click down there. It's got all of our discount codes, all of our links to our show partners, where you guys can go and support the people that support this show and help us make this show happen. And of course, this show does not happen without you guys. You guys know we appreciate you. You're the Searsanger fam. You're the reason we're here. Appreciate y'all, and we'll see y'all on the next one.